Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington, D.C.
Unfortunately, JJ was, put into custody of the police and slapped with charges over instances of matters that happened 9 years ago.
An independent Zambian parliamentarian demands an inquiry into the disappearance of colleague lawmaker J. Emmanuel Banda.
It is the truth that the Malawi Congress Party has chosen President Lazarus Chakwera as its president. This is for the third term, in line with the constitution of the Malawi Congress Party.
The ruling Malawi Congress Party elects incumbent President Lazarus Chakwera as its presidential candidate for the general election next year.
And 80% of those leaders we consulted came to the conclusion that we need to start a new party instead of continuing to fight with a group that we left at our party headquarters.
And we'll find out if Uganda will have a new political party by the end of August. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Zambia, a non-partisan parliamentarian says there must be an independent inquiry into the alleged disappearance of colleague lawmaker J. Emmanuel Banda. Binwell Chansa, who is regarded as the closest friend to Banda, says it is difficult to believe that the police service, which claims it does not have funds to purchase fuel for its cars, will offer $76,537 as bounty for the arrest of the lawmaker. His remarks come after the police announced that Banda, who was under arrest by receiving medical attention at a health center, scaled a two-story building and ran away from the police. Chansa tells me that the narrative appears to be a politically motivated cover-up.
You may have picked information that JJ was abducted, and the people who abducted JJ, according to his story, are people that works for State House. Okay? Now, between you and me, what the country was waiting to hear was police investigations in regards to the abduction of JJ. Unfortunately, JJ was, put into custody of the police and slapped with charges over instances of matters that happened 9 years ago. Today, when everybody is waiting for the police to give update as to who abducted JJ, the police decides to charge JJ for two counts. Number one, aggravated robbery. The second count is that this journalist is claiming JJ had threatened him or threatened that he would burn him alive. So if you look at these charges that have been slapped on JJ, we can all conclude that these are politically motivated charges.
But now, but why would he run away from police custody when he was medically being treated?
First of all, even the issue of running away is not even conclusive as we speak today. Okay, because Peter, you wish to know, JJ was in the hands of the state. He was being manned by five officers, three state police officers and two correctional service officers. This is a gentleman who was on a hospital bed. So if you ask me, I have ruled out the possibility of JJ running away, which is why for me, I am insisting the state must know more than meets the eye.
Are you saying that there has to be an investigation, an independent investigation, to find out what really happened? Because the police concluded that he scaled down the two-story building to run away from them, and that is why they placed the 2 million kwacha on his head.
Before we even get down to the bounty that has been placed on JJ, let's be clear, because others will tell you that obviously JJ was faking his illness. But the Home Affairs Minister at his press briefing did confirm that JJ underwent a medical procedure. In short, the minister was confirming that JJ was unwell. Okay? So then, if JJ was unwell and it is confirmed by the state, how do we then explain how this gentleman who was unwell can jump from a two-story building? Now, not only are we talking about jumping from a two-story building, this is a gentleman who has eluded five state officers. Now, if you listen to the minister again, it is in the split of minutes or seconds. The minister says the wife came out to tell the officers, you can now go in, and immediately they did not find JJ. So we are talking about a split action. So this is why for us we can say JJ has not a runaway. JJ is missing. And JJ, for us we can conclude something fishy is going on.
Well, but JJ Banda is a prominent member of the National Assembly or Parliament.
Trust me, Peter, the UPND would be very excited to have JJ run away, because we know that one of the things they want is to get his seat. And so for a group of people that want somebody's seat, are you telling me that they would be in a hurry to want to find him and place a 2 million bounty on him? Like I said, there's something fishy going on around JJ, because we are basically talking about a police service that does not even have money to buy for their fuel in their cars. So where would they even draw that 2 million kwacha for a reward? Okay. So if you ask me, the issue of a reward is what even for me makes it even more complicated, because why the interest? Because we have had similar cases of people running away, people of big standing. When we talk about Kaiser Zulu, he's a man of big standing in Zambian society. There's no bounty on his head, not even a 2 kwacha. But we are talking about a 2 million kwacha. So for me, there's something more than what the police is telling us. Besides, whatever the police is telling us, whatever the Home Affairs Minister is telling us, it is not even adding up.
Meanwhile, Chansa is an independent member of the Zambian Parliament. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. In Malawi, the governing Malawi Congress Party, or MCP, has elected incumbent President Lazarus Chakwera as its presidential candidate for the general election next year. Information Minister Moses Kunkunyu, who is also a spokesperson for the MCP, says the decision was unanimous since the president has been implementing measures to improve living standards. For more reaction following the ruling party's convention to choose leaders for the MCP, I reach Moses Kunkunyu.
It isn't true that the Malawi Congress Party has chosen President Lazarus Chakwera as its president. This is for the third term, in line with the constitution of the Malawi Congress Party. What the constitution says is that one shall hold the office of the president for 2 5-year terms. But where the president has been elected as the country's president while serving his second term, he shall be eligible for a third term. So in keeping with the constitution, we have elected President Lazarus Chakwera as the president of the party for the next 5 years. What the constitution says also is that the one who is elected as the president of the party shall be the torchbearer at the election. So I can confirm that President Lazarus Chakwera will be the torchbearer in 2025 general elections.
What are his chances to retain power?
The strength of the Malawi Congress Party is the biggest asset that we have. And having the caliber of President Lazarus Chakwera as its president, then it makes the whole equation complete. Malawi landscape of politics is never complete without the Malawi Congress Party. And the Malawi Congress Party at this stage is not complete without Lazarus Chakwera. So we have a very big force to reckon with if the opposition is to face Malawi Congress Party. And we are confident as a party. We are determined with the leadership of Lazarus Chakwera to go and face the election with all the confidence, because we know it's not just about politicking, but it's about the service to Malawians, a pursuit that Lazarus Chakwera, the president, has led very successfully in the past 4 years.
What do you say to political analysts who are of the view that since the president went into office through an alliance with other political parties, including the UTM. Now that he doesn't have the UTM support, it's unlikely for him to win the election first round.
We are not dismissing the possibility of political alliances, because this is something that happens world over. And political parties have been in alliances before. It's not the first time that political parties have had an alliance and gone into government. So Malawi Congress Party itself has also had alliances with other political parties. You may wish to know that Malawi Congress Party is the strongest party in the country, and just 2019 elections alone, which we did not reach the 50+1 mark, or we did not clinch victory, just short by about 300,000 votes. But that time, about 1.2 million people in our stronghold did not go to vote, even though they had registered. So there are many factors that contribute to the 50+1. One of those factors is to ensure that there is no voter apathy. And we are determined to make sure that every vote is cast. Every voter wakes up on the polling day and goes to vote. But in saying this, we are not dismissing any possibility or any thought of an alliance with any political party. But we are determined to face the election. And we are confident that Malawians are looking for a leader. That leader is in the caliber and name of Lazarus.
But the MCP is still open for alliances with other political parties before the election, correct?
My Congress Party has always maintained an open door policy where we allow people to come in and be part of the party, but we also allow other political parties to come into agreements or alliances with the Malawi Congress Party, as long as they are agreeable to the ideals and philosophy of the Malawi Congress Party, because we are an institution and we cannot dilute our values just because of certain agreements.
What do you think the message is from the party to the people of Malawi following the decision by the party to unanimously endorse the incumbent president to lead the party in the presidential contest?
The message is that of hope for Malawi. Hope for the future of Malawi, because we've been led by leaders that were corrupt, leaders that were nepotistic, leaders that were only interested in enriching themselves and not advancing the common good of the people. For the first time, we have a leader who has displayed that we need to have leaders that are servant leaders. We need to have leaders that can unite people. We need to have leaders that propagate the idea of everyone prospering together. Leaders that are fully spirited and genuinely spirited to end corruption. And leaders that ensure that there is rule of law in the country. And these principles are well embedded in the spirit, in the philosophy of the Malawi Congress Party under the leadership of Lazarus Chakwera. So we're saying to Malawians, here is a leader who has displayed all these qualities. What else would Malawians want? This is the kind of leader that Malawians want.
Moses Kunkunyu is Malawi's information minister. He spoke with me from the capital, Lilongwe. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC, a political analyst says a military court death sentence ruling for the rebels may have little impact in bringing immediate peace to the country's troubled east. Amy von Businga also says reactions have been mixed following the court ruling. His remarks come after a court in the capital, Kinshasa, ruled that rebels accused of war crimes, insurrection and criminal activities must face the death penalty. They include Cornel Nanga and over 12 members of the alliance Fleuve Congo or Congo River Alliance. Leaders of the M23 rebels, who the government describes as terrorists, were also sentenced to death. For more reaction and analysis, I reach Amy von Businga.
Indeed, Nanga and a number of people have been sentenced to death. Let me maybe give you a bit of context. The death penalty in the DRC has just been reinstated after many years of a moratorium that was put on that type of sentence. So it is something that sort of has that sort of life has been reinstated in the country. And the new Minister of Justice, who has just assumed office, is trying to initiate a certain number of actions to send a very strong signal that he has assumed office and that he is working. He wants to be seen as someone working. Now, for Nanga and associates, well, Nanga now is leading the Alliance Fleuve Congo, and as such has become a rebel. this court, in fact, was held in absentia, that in the sense that Nanga was not there, that the proceedings were held in Kinshasa and sentenced him to death. Will that result in piercing the DRC? I think that is unlikely.
What has been the reaction of the people so far? What has been the reaction?
Well, the people believe that it's part a dissuasive approach in order for those that might be keen on undertaking similar activities as Nanga to be a little bit discouraged. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, people also believe that it is pretty much a box-ticking exercise or a public relations exercise, in the sense that Nanga is not even in Kinshasa and it will not help at all.
Now, with especially the M23 rebels who have been launching attacks and fighting the FARDC or the National Army of Congo, what impact do you think this will have on them?
It can only have a very minor impact, in the sense that in the event someday, in the future, in a very distant future, these M23 leaders would be apprehended by the DRC government, then the sanction will be implemented. But until then, I do not see how it can have any impact on their activities, more so as they are being implemented far in eastern parts of the DRC and also enjoying many other supports from other countries.
For those who have been impacted negatively, the internally displaced people and the humanitarian groups who have been helping some of these displaced people because of the rebel activities going on, what do you think their reaction is?
I know that these people know that the decision has been made in Kinshasa, but the place for the activities, the negative activities of M23 and other negative forces are happening, are pretty much out of DRC government control. So even if the DRC's government make a decision in Kinshasa, the capital city of the country, implementing it there where M23 is operating is well nigh impossible. So it will not at all affect the IDPs, the internally displaced people. It will not change their lives any fashion. It will be just status quo until the DRC's government authority becomes effective there, and that depends on many factors.
People have questioned the decision by the government to bring back the death penalty. Do people see this as the way forward to bringing peace to Congo?
It is definitely one of the many mechanisms that can at least create disincentive or create dissuasion in the event of people that are keen on becoming rebels in attacking the government or the regular the military of the country. But it will take many more actions. The death penalty, the DRC, is a tool that commands a lot more responsibility, because it will land many people in jail and eventually, if it is implemented, killed. So it is good as a dissuasive measure, but it also required systematic reforms of the justice sector so that the death penalty is implemented in a responsible fashion. So it is a measure to dissuade, but it will take many more reforms so that it is implemented in a fair fashion.
Amy von Businga is a political analyst. He spoke with me from the Congolese capital, Kinshasa.
Established in 2014, the Mandela Washington Fellowship is celebrating its 10th anniversary in 2024 and has brought nearly 6,500 young leaders from every country in sub-Saharan Africa to the United States. On the next edition of Our Voices, we will introduce you to some extraordinary young African women to share their experiences in the Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders program. Join the conversation on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC on The Voice of America.
The Gambian military said Saturday it had arrested a former general who was an alleged member of a death squad under former dictator Yahya Jammeh. Former Brigadier General Bori Kole is alleged to have belonged to a paramilitary unit nicknamed the Junglers. The group has long been accused of carrying out extrajudicial killings and torture by the United Nations and rights groups. The French news agency AFP reports that the intelligence services had conducted surveillance operations around his residence in Banjul on the day of his arrest. The Gambian government in 2022 endorsed the recommendations of a commission that looked into atrocities perpetrated under Jammeh.
The authorities agreed to prosecute 70 people, including the former president who came to power following a coup in 1994. Still in the Gambia, an executive member of the Alliance for Patriotic Reorientation and Construction, or APRC, says the party plans to support President Adama Barrow to run for a third term. Dudu Ja is the deputy spokesperson and director of the media for the APRC. He says the constitution does not have term limits for a sitting president. His remarks come as some people, including opposition groups, say the president should not seek another mandate for after serving two full-year terms. Some Gambians are calling for a new constitution with a two-term limit for a president. Dudu Ja tells me the president should seek another mandate because he is doing well.
Well, my party is in alliance with the president's party, that's the National People's Party. And as far as the party stance is, we're going to support him if he runs for that term. Taking into account the constitution of the Gambia has no term limit. Unless if the president decides not to run, then we will respect that decision.
But why is the conversation coming up now, especially when it's almost 2 years ahead of the next general election?
We have people or even political parties that are advocating for two-term limits, that the president has served two terms. He does not have to go for that term. That's what's still triggering all the discussion and the engagements on social media about that he should not run for that term.
The Constitution does not prevent the president from seeking a third term, correct?
Yes, not at all. Our Constitution is open. There's no term limits.
But the suggestion is that if former President Yahya Jammeh stayed on for over 20 years, then things must change because the president said he was going to change things from how it used to be. So why would he not serve two terms, probably amend the constitution to have a two-term limit like others in the West African region?
Well, not to amend the constitution. I think the draft constitution it's still being vetted to go back to parliament. It's yearning for the country to have a new constitution. And in that constitution, term limit is definitely stated. I think this is what is triggering for him to come for a third term based on the constitution we're expecting.
What is the general mood in the country about a possible third term for president? Because I understand he's even falling out with his former alliance partner who helped him to defeat former President Yahya Jammeh in the last election before he went into exile.
Well, people's views and opinions is diverse. You'll always have two sides of it, those that are in support and those that are in against. But on the side of the alliance, I don't think there's any mixed feelings as far as the president serving another term or running for that term is concerned. But on the side of the opposition, it's quite normal. They would want to have an opportunity. So they'll advocate and call for the president not to go for a third term.
If the president comes to your party and tells you he wants to seek a third term and the majority of the people want him to run for a third term, your party is okay with it?
Yes, as a party, as we speak, I don't hear or see any objections to that. Unless the party wants to run on a ticket, maybe put up a candidate, then it might be different. But if the party does not have any candidate or no interest of putting up a candidate, they'll support the bid of the president.
But former President Yahya Jammeh, who is the leader of your party and founder of your party, is against the government. So are you breaking away from his party? What is going on?
No, we're not breaking away from the party. The party is currently led by the Speaker of the National Assembly, the Right Honorable Fabakari Tambongjaka. Though we have a breakaway of the APRC who dubbed themselves as the No to Alliance movement. So for them, they are against supporting the president or to endorse that is anything that is coming from the government. And for them still, though Jammeh is in exile, for them, he is their leader and they only listen to him.
Dudu Ja is an executive member of the Alliance for Patriotic Reorientation and Construction, or APRC. He spoke with me from the Gambian capital, Banjul. In Uganda, a faction of the Opposition Forum for Democratic Change, or FDC, plans to announce the formation of a new political party at the coming delegates conference scheduled for August 19. Parliamentarian Ibrahim Semuju, a leading member of the FDC Katongo, a faction of the FDC, says a nationwide consultation helped leaders decide to form a new party. His remarks follow reports of a recent leadership dispute that observers say is threatening to weaken and break apart the opposition party. Analysts say the formation of the new party may help the ruling group improve its electoral prospects. For more information about the recent development, I reach parliamentarian Ibrahim Semuju.
We've been going around the country speaking to FDC leaders, and these consultations are as a result of Mr. Museveni taking over the FDC the same way he did with UPC, the same way he did with the Democratic Party, the two of all the Uganda's independence political parties. So we took a decision to go and consult. We have concluded these consultations. We have a delegates conference on August 19th. This delegates conference will formally adopt resolutions that have been made during consultation, because the consultations were informal, but they were attended by all the leaders. And 80% of those leaders we consulted came to the conclusion that we need to start a new party instead of continuing to fight with a group that we left at our party headquarters, something that Mr. Museveni wants us to do the rest of our political careers.
Is this the best way forward? Because if that is the case, that the powers that be is influencing this party that you belong to, for which you want to move away and form a new party, couldn't leaders imagine the same scenario happening by some of the members being compromised?
We've been here before. After the 2011 elections, we formed a pressure group called Action for Change, which was AFOC in abbreviation. It is that umbrella under which we are protesting during what came to be known as Walk to Work. But eventually, government took it over, and we just found a new name, For God and My Country, which is Uganda's motto. So we went by For God and My Country, and we are ready to keep mutating into another name and into another political infrastructure. Because you must be very careful. You cannot say because Museveni has taken over two political parties that either you stay in them or you don't create another one. Time will come when he no longer has money to buy political parties. I can tell you, I am a shadow minister for finance. This financial year, our budget of 72 trillion shilling, we are only able to raise 31 trillion shilling in taxes, which is less than half. So there will be time when he has no money to buy political parties and no money to buy and compromise opposition leaders.
With this new political party that is being considered, wouldn't this further divide the front of the opposition? Because now there are a plethora of opposition political parties, which some analysts say makes it easier for President Museveni to win elections in Uganda.
You know, incidentally, the population is never divided. For elections of 2006, 2011, 2016, the population voted Dr. Kizza Besigye, and I am sure Dr. Besigye won those elections. In the last election of 2021, the population voted for Kyagulanyi. So the number of political parties is not a bother, but it is actually a bother when you stay in one political party and spend all the time fighting. So the multiplicity of political parties don't affect the voting in Uganda. But they allow each political party to concentrate in an area where it has an advantage. Instead of keeping people in one political group and they are quarreling, the intention of Museveni, and that's why he came to take over the FDC, to keep us fighting.
So Ugandans should expect the announcement of a new political party on August 19th. Is that a message from the FDC Katongo?
On August 19th, we will make a decision that we have decided to form a new political party. What will follow are the registration of that political party under the Political Parties and Organizations Act. We hope it will take maybe 1 or 2 months, and then we will reconvene again to inaugurate a new party.
Parliamentarian Ibrahim Semuju is a leading member of a faction of the Opposition Forum for Democratic Change, or FDC. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Sub-Saharan Africa has been making strides toward gender equality, but a report by Gallup shows women still face discrimination despite commitment by most African countries to empower women and reduce gender disparity. Juma Majanga reports from the VOA Africa News Center in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Despite progress in policy and legislation intended to end gender inequality in most African countries, the continent is still far from achieving gender equality, according to recent research by the polling organization Gallup. The report, Gender Power in Africa, examined gender equality in Kenya, South Africa, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zimbabwe. It shows women still face discrimination. Julie Ray is the managing editor for World News at Gallup.
There are a number of factors at play, including social expectations that are placed on women in these countries, and those remain barriers to participation in education and the labor market.
Wanjiru Gikonyo, a governance expert in Nairobi, says the inequalities are rooted in social and cultural norms and traditions that can be traced to the colonial era.
Yes, women and girls still lag behind male counterparts in this regard. Part of that is, of course, our traditional, cultural, and societal structures were disrupted during the colonial period, which was a period of very coercive use of force. And that really accentuated the marginalization that has then been imprinted into our post-colonial governments. And this marginalization then shows itself as inequality.
Wanjiru says most constitutions in Africa have provisions for gender equality, but adherence remains a challenge.
When it comes to power, we are very patrimonial. So we are still dealing with a lot of patrimonialism that is very undemocratic and allows a lot of undemocratic practices to continue and a lot of injustice to go unspoken.
Gallup's Ray says the imbalances act as barriers to social and economic development of women, which affects Africa's overall development.
Generally, access to education and participation in the labor market still remains limited compared to men. But more women participating in the workforce, more jobs, is of course a bonus for economic growth.
The United Nations Development Programme ranks sub-Saharan Africa as the worst performing region in the Gender Inequality Index, a composite measure reflecting the disparity between women's and men's achievements in reproductive health, empowerment, and labor market. Ibo Mandaza, a Zimbabwean author and governance analyst in Harare, says it will take time to change attitudes on the continent and to attain gender balance. He urges women's groups in Africa to keep leading the struggle for gender equality.
Whatever achievements have been made in gender equality is attributable to women's movements across the continent. That struggle should be intensified and involve males in that struggle.
Experts say Africa has made progress toward gender equality, but much work remains to be done to ensure that women have equal economic opportunities and are free from discrimination. Juma Majanga, VOA News, Nairobi.
This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from African Collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Although with some surprise, not total surprise, President Macron of France announced last week that France had endorsed Morocco's autonomous plan for Western Sahara. In plain language, it means that France is accepting that the jurisdiction of Morocco will extend to all of Western Sahara. This is not the first time that a Western country has tried to obtain the decision of the Security Council and the General Assembly of their plan for Western Sahara, which had been negotiated during the time of Pierre de Coubertin, and both sides agreed that there would be a referendum to determine which party could exercise the self-determination of the Sahrawi people. But we must also remember that during the time of the Trump administration, President Trump used Western Sahara as a bargaining chip in pursuance of his policy of the Abraham Accord. He told Morocco that should Morocco decide to normalize its relation with Israel, then the United States would accept its autonomous plan. And it was very strange because Morocco was compelled in some ways to accept the annexation of the Golan Heights by Israel. And by the way, Prime Minister Netanyahu has been saying that Judea and Samaria was given to Israel by God. But the Golan Heights has nothing to do with Judea and Samaria. So you have two permanent Western countries in the Security Council going against their own votes in the Security Council to proceed with the plan for Western Sahara that should be determined after a referendum. In addition, there have been reports that another Western country, Spain, has decided that it would accept Morocco's autonomous plan. This is very tragic for the African country. The Organization of African Unity claimed that it was able during its existence to end colonialism on the African soil and also to ensure that every people self-determination. So what should be done? It would appear that the problem underlying these issues is because the African Union has become extremely weak. Because I can assure you that under the OAU, the predecessor to the African Union, that would not have been tolerated. You would have seen the OAU going to the Security Council and the General Assembly and protesting vehemently that what these three Western countries have done is contrary to decisions of the Security Council and the General Assembly. Today, Morocco is claiming, referring to Algeria, which have been defending the Sahrawi people, that it had outmaneuvered Algeria, and that Algeria is isolated. But in fact, it is not that Algeria that is isolated. It is the United Nations that is isolated, that allow this contradiction by permanent members of the Security Council to take place. It is in this context that I would say that given the fact that the African Union has not challenged these members of the General Assembly, that its inactivity and silence is most regrettable. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs.
When your legs don't work like they used to before.
It's Sunday on Nightline Africa. This is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? And darling, I will be loving you
till you're 70. Yeah. Baby, my heart still fall as I at 23. Yeah. People fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just a touch of a hand. Every single day, I just wanna tell you I am. Hairs all gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name. When my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow. Mysterious ways, maybe it's all part of the plan. I'll just keep on making the same mistake, hoping you will understand. Baby, take me.
Come make we bust a wine tonight. I'll mix up the road strings strong. Time if you feel like rain. It's time to ride. It's time to ride. How many more times should we sing about the unity vibes? How many more times should we hear the people tell us to unite? In the army, put on your jeans and come. Come, make we bust a wine tonight. I'll mix up the road strings strong. Time if you feel like rare. It's time to ride. It's time to ride. Live up your dreams and come. Live it up, ja ja no. Take off your hate and come. Take it off, let all go. DJ, mix up these beats. Mix it up, yeah, I know. Tonight, tonight, pull up your boots and come. Soldiers in the army, put on your jeans and come. Come make we bust a wine tonight. Mix up the road strings strong. Time with the feel like rare. It's time to ride. It's time to ride. In the army, put on your jeans and come. Come, make we bust a wine tonight. Mix up the road strings strong. Time with a feel like rare. It's time to ride.
Celebration day, medication day, celebration day, in Africa, we're catching vibes with bougie wives, we drip with ice, won't feel no cold nice. Celebration day, medication day, celebration day.
Sunday Music Spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nico Peters and engineer Justin Thwaites, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, no matter how intense the fire is, it is still water that will quench it. I'm your host, Peter Clote in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Anyway, anyhow, you know, say you go to me.
Aye, 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 aye.